on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, October 26th edition of InvestTalk. And as always, we are excited to talk with you today, hear what you have to say, and give you some insight and some knowledge that will help you make better investment decisions. And one of the ways that we can help is through encouragement, because that really is an important thing, because this is it's a humbling business, it's a humbling endeavor to invest money, because you're never going to be right 100% of the time, no matter who you are. And it's always good to have a little encouragement to get back on the horse and learn from some mistakes and make better decisions going forward. And then also we can help with giving you some good information. That's what we try to do every day, is give you relevant information that matters to your decisions. Now, each Friday, our premium newsletter goes out to subscriber email boxes, and Steve schedules free portfolio reviews for a limited number of listeners at least once a month in Northern and Southern California. And we schedule these reviews via Skype and telephone for some of our podcast listeners who might live throughout the United States. We also have investment conferences that we do, and we are having a webinar that's coming up on November 18th. That's how we get in touch with all of you guys that are listening outside of this hour, and it hopefully give you some more in-depth knowledge, and that's what our end goal is. Now, this one is a little bit different when it comes to our webinar. We're asking you to pick the topic, and we're asking you what money topics you like to spend an hour talking about. And in the survey form online, we have a list of several choices. The first is technical analysis for beginners. I know a lot of people are interested in charting, and so that might be something you all are interested in. Number two is building a strong portfolio with less risk and finding strong dividend-paying stocks. That's certainly an avenue that needs to be explored at all times. But in today's world, where everybody's starved for yield, finding good dividend-paying stocks can be difficult. And then maximizing your Social Security benefits, that's always something that everybody should be thinking about, is what strategies they can deploy to make sure they're getting the most out of their Social Security benefits. Number four is deciphering current market trends. You know, there are a lot of different factors that need to be taken into account when you're deciding how strong is the market, how strong is the economy. And maybe some in-depth knowledge on that is what you want. Number five, identifying real estate opportunities and pitfalls. A lot of people love real estate, and there's certainly a place for real estate investing for everybody. I'm a licensed real estate agent, so I know that very well. But there are pitfalls involved and pros and cons, so we can get into that. And then finally, if you want to vote on one of these five ideas, topics, you can do that, or you can fill in the blank and bring your own idea to us. And we thank you all for voting so far. And this week, we're still inviting your suggestions. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and click on webinar, and you will see the link to the questionnaire. And I thank you for participating. Now, again, the idea of InvestTalk is to help our listeners become better custodians of the money that they earn and invest. And we believe investing in the stock market is really the most reliable way to grow your money long term. So what does it take to be a successful investor? It takes a lot of knowledge, expertise, discipline, and experience. And discipline is big. Discipline is number one, I think. Now, this is a question many new investors ask us here on InvestTalk. Well, the answer, you know, isn't straightforward. It is pretty simple. And there are many schools of thoughts of when it comes to investing, and each person may have their own path to success. There's more than one way to skin a cat, okay? There are many different strategies that work when it comes to investing. It's a matter of which one fits your profile, your temperament. Now, some investors ignore areas of expertise that others master. For instance, Warren Buffett is a pure value investor who ignores all charting, doesn't care much about the fluctuations in the economy, and he has obviously found success with this method, while others ignore valuation, simply rely on chart reading and find trend stocks and ride the fluctuations of the market. That is an avenue that many people have also done very well with. So our advice is to find your comfort zone and run with it, and that's why we are here, is to help you hash that out. What is your comfort zone? We have expertise in all those different areas. Okay. Now, maybe you'd like to share your investing experiences. We're ready for your call. And of course, bring your questions to us. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. So let's take this quick question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, my name is Rob, and I'm calling from Atlanta. I have a general question about the stock market. For example, Microsoft, which is not really a growth stock, and we noticed that this stock jumped between 13% in 2 days. If this means we're getting close to the end of this bull market, isn't a Microsoft a type of a stock that should grow up maybe 10% in 2 years, not in 2 days? So I just want to know your thoughts. Thank you.
No, it's not really anything I don't think that will tell us that we're at the end of a bull market. Microsoft really had some good earnings because of their cloud business is doing a lot better than expected. So that was really why it moved up so quickly. It could also be a short squeeze where there's a lot of investors that are short Microsoft, and with some positive earnings and the stock moving up quickly, it exacerbated that move because a lot of those people that were short went to cover. When you cover a short position, you have to buy it, and that pushes the stock price up. So that could be it as well. That's not for me one indication of whether we're at the end of the bull market. You know, I focus a lot on liquidity. I focus a lot on the credit markets, and the credit markets are weakening. And that could be a sign, and I think it is a sign, that we're in either the latter stage of the bull market or the beginning stage of the bear market. But, Microsoft shooting up dramatically isn't something that makes me super worried. Now, there is a very narrow group of stocks like Microsoft and Google and Amazon whose valuations are very stretched, and everybody is in love with them, and they're moving very well. Because people are seeing this trend of everything moving towards the cloud, and those are certainly leaders in the cloud, they're big blue chip names, and people like that safety. So that's something that is interesting, something I'm not a big fan of. I don't think that the market should be moving up in a narrow fashion like that. And so that would be broadly when you're talking about the big blue chip names, that's something I would be worried about, but not just Microsoft in particular. Now, these investments may appear similar to stocks, but they have some distinct qualities that you need to understand. And we're talking about exchange traded notes, MLPs, REITs, those type of investments that are, they look and feel like a stock when you buy them, but they're not in many senses. And you need to understand those distinct characteristics when you are looking at those type of investments. So that's our main talking point today. That's what I want to talk about, trading off the beaten path and making sure you understand the characteristics of those names. I also want to talk about a few other things. One, Apple's earnings come out tomorrow after the bell. Are they having a China problem? China's had some issues recently. Is that going to drag down Apple? I think is going to be important. I also want to talk about the new chip credit cards. You know, the credit cards, a lot of you might be getting them in the mail. I know I had a fraud claim or whatever. It was only like $50, but they sent me a new card and it had the new chip in it. So a lot of you might be having that or seeing that or hearing about that. And there's a new scam going on in relation to them, which is pretty interesting, which I want to talk about. And then I want to discuss Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett. What are the secrets? Talk about that. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein, and it may be time for a review of your retirement accounts. Remember, there are alternatives to what you're doing now, and Steve has San Jose meeting set up on November 11th. But that's filled up, but we have new dates in San Diego coming up. So go to investtalk.com.
Hi, guys. I have a question on a stock, Akamai Technologies. The symbol is AKAM. I have it in my portfolio and wanted to see if I should continue to hold or sell. What do you think? Thank you.
All right, looking at Akamai Technologies. They provide services that improve the delivery of content and applications over the internet. And it's a company whose earnings are going to fall 3% this year. Supposed to rebound up 18% next year. Modest amount of debt, no dividend, about a $13 billion company. So mid to, you know, getting into that large cap space. Return equity 16%, which is solid, you know, solid numbers. What else we got here? We have revenue growing in the mid teens, whereas a year ago they were growing in the mid 20% range. So you're having growth slow a little bit. What are margins doing? I always like to look at what margins are doing over the last few years, and it looks like they're shrinking a little bit. They're at the lowest levels they've been in a while. 2013 it was 18.5%. Now we're at below 16%. So you're seeing margins being squeezed a little bit. Still good cash flow levels, but my thing is it's a little expensive. You know, P's 30, not really growing its earnings that much anymore. Cash flow is still strong, but $300 million on a $13 billion stock, you know, that's not a great cash flow yield. It's like a 2% cash flow yield, 2.5. So that's a little steep for my liking. Now technically, it's still strong. So what I would probably do is, if you're up nicely, take some off the table. Take some of those profits, and that's what you want to do when things are. Especially companies that are growth names, that are trading at high PEs, and you're starting to see that growth slow down, which is distinctively what you're seeing now, you want to start being a little careful. Because if that slowdown turns into a reversal, meaning negative revenue growth, negative sales growth, it can be hit pretty fast and pretty quick. So I would probably start taking some of it off the table and look for an exit point. If it gets above $85 a share, that's when I would really take most of the rest off. Now, our invest stock number is 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. You can join us right now. We love to talk with you. We want to hear what is on your mind. I can discuss my topics till the cows come home. But ultimately, what's more important is what is on your mind. So I'd love to talk with you. Give us a call. This is Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. There's an indicator that some say is telling us not to bail out of this market too soon. Is the data telling us to stay? That's one of our talking points on Tuesday's podcast, and we hope you'll be listening then.
888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. Let's talk quickly about today's market. You had the Dow down 24 points, the S&P down 4 points, the NASDAQ was up 3 points, and you had commodities down slightly, broadly. So it was a pretty ho-hum day, you know, a very modest down day overall. And the big economic news was two. One was home sales, which disappointed. They were worse than expected. You had U.S. new single-family home sales at 468,000. Analysts were expecting, I can't remember the exact number, but it was over 500,000 in sales. And that's really the lowest number since November of last year, when interest rates were much higher. If you look at the 10-year November of last year, you had the 10-year, where was the 10-year November of last year? Let's go back. You had that about 2.3. So yeah, that was about 30 basis points higher, which, you know, on mortgage rates, if, you know, quarter of a percent, half percent, that's a pretty big difference, can be a pretty big difference in a monthly payment. So mortgage rates were higher then, and you're seeing some softness in the housing market. And then you also had the Dallas Fed manufacturing index, and that was weaker than expected as well. That was at negative 12.7, where analysts were expecting an improvement. Last month in September, it was 9.5. They were expecting it to, you know, still be negative, but only about negative 6 in change. But it was really negative 12 in change. So that was worse than expected. But the market really didn't react too negatively about it, to be frank. And I think what's happening is the market is still wondering, A, what's going to happen tomorrow. There's a lot of economic news coming out tomorrow. We have durable goods orders. We have the Case-Shiller Home Index. We have the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index. We have, what else do we have? Building permits. We have home ownership rate. We have Texas retail business activity. So there's a lot of economic news coming out tomorrow. And then we have the Fed announcement on Wednesday. And then we have the GDP report on Thursday. So this week is chock full of economic numbers. And I think the market is really probably waiting on those. And those are probably more impactful than what you saw today. And that's why you saw just a modest pause, modest, you know, negative day. Now let's talk a little bit about the investments that are off the beaten path to some degree. Okay. And these are exchange-traded funds, MLPs, REITs, and, you know, to the average person, it might seem like you're investing in a stock. But many don't realize that these investments have certain characteristics that set them apart from your traditional stock that you would buy, you know, your Walmarts or Cokes or Apples of the world, right? The first is closed-end funds. And these trade on public markets. And they were very similar to a mutual fund. And a lot of people are very similar, are very familiar with mutual funds and even ETFs that are more common today, because they trade at or near their net asset value. Remember, ETFs, mutual funds, they hold a group of assets. They have a value in the marketplace. And then, you know, the fund company calculates that all together and says, okay, the net value of all of these assets are X. And that's usually what it trades around. Okay. But closed-end funds, they don't do that. These tend to trade at a premium or a discount. They issue a certain amount of shares backed by certain assets, and then it trades and it free floats, whether above the asset value and below it, and very often below it. And sometimes this can create a nice opportunity. You see this a lot in the bond funds, closed-end funds, and they're investing in bonds. Right now, a lot of them are trading at big discounts because the whole sector is kind of being negatively affected. So this can be an opportunity, but it also creates a lot of volatility, so be aware of that. Then you have real estate investment trusts. A lot of people don't understand that buying a property, investing in real estate, it's not always the most simple, straightforward process. So investing in a REIT can be a simple way to do that. Okay. And one good thing is they have easy liquidity. You, a lot easier than selling a house or a property, right? One thing you have to understand is they can bring a lot of volatility, and you need to diversify. Don't get locked into one, you know, retail a REIT or a healthcare REIT or a storage REIT or a mortgage REIT. We see those are very popular today because of the dividend, high dividends that they pay. And then lastly, master limited partnerships. This is a legal structure that is required by law to generate the majority of its revenue from natural resources, commodities, or real estate. What biggest issue is that they pass along what is called a K-1. So they pass the tax consequences off to you. So if you're investing in them, understand that. If you're investing in a master limited partnership, understand you're going to get a K-1, and it can make your tax return a little more complicated. The best way, I think, to invest in a master limited partnership is through a mutual fund or an ETF, and those tax consequences are not as bad. Now we've reached the halfway mark in this hour. There's still plenty of time to join in the discussion. Invest Talk works better with you involved. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
This is Invest Talk for Monday, October 26th. Got a question about investing? The line is open, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I've got a question about the 30-day rule.
Okay.
Actually, I sold something in my 401k by accident. I was just wondering, it turned a profit, but I'm just wondering if the 30-day rule would apply if it was a loss.
No, the
I guess it wouldn't matter either way then, right?
Yeah, because it's in your 401k, so it doesn't matter either way. You know, that's only for if you're going to take the capital gain,
right,
gain or loss, then the 30-day rule will count. But in a 401k, you know, you're not taking any gain or loss.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I just realized that while I was on hold. But, I just made a mistake earlier today about selling something that I had in my 401 that I just purchased not that long ago. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's all I had for you today.
All right, no worries, Art. Thanks for calling
in.
Appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit quickly about new credit card scams. I hate scams. Scams annoy me. It's crazy that there's some people that would do this and steal money and dupe people out of their money. But it's a huge business, and I try to help as many people as possible stay out of these situations. And so I like to give some light to a new one. And I don't know if everyone knows this, but there's these new chips that are being embedded in credit cards to make them more secure. Now, I'm not an expert on how that makes them more secure. It has something to do with having the information on the card harder to steal or whatever. But the bottom line is that a lot of the banks are now sending out new cards to their customers. And if you have a card in your wallet that does not have a chip in it, odds are you're going to get one very, very soon. But what's happening right now is that fraudsters are sending out fake emails pretending to be the credit card issuer and telling people they need to update their account by sending personal information and clicking on a link in order to get the card, the new upgraded card. And they're using this information, obviously, to steal the customer's identity. And sometimes also clicking on certain things will install malware and compromise security of your computer. Now remember, there's no reason why a credit card issuer needs to contact you by email or by phone, for that matter, for personal information before sending you a new card. Okay, so understand that. And if you ever have any questions about the person that you're talking to or the entity that you're interacting with in regards to your credit cards, just look at the credit card, turn it over, there's a phone number on the back, and call that number. and then you'll know whether this is legitimate or not. Okay, so it's just another way that these scammers are trying to get people. And also, never go to a website link that's from an email. And never just go to the website link without really understanding where that email is coming from. And also, if you click on that link, look at the URL. Make sure it's from that bank only. Not just that it contains the name of that bank. Make sure it's a secured website. A lot of times I've seen this where you click on something, click on a link, and it'll go to a site and it'll have the logo of that bank on the screen, but that's not necessarily their site. It's easy to get the logo of a big bank. That's easy, okay? So be careful. Don't get your stuff stolen. It's never fun. Now, we're here for you, beginner or experienced investor, at 888-99-CHART. And if you're a podcast listener and can't reach us during our live program time, 4 to 5 Pacific time, you can leave your question.
Hi, my name is Walter. I'm calling from Oceanside. And I would like Steve's opinion on a stock called Destination Maternity. The symbol is Delta Echo Sierra Tango. Thank you.
All right, he's looking at Destiny Maternity. This is a company that it looks like it's having a lot of trouble. They operate 568 maternity clothing stores and 1,300 leased departments in the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Canada. $106 million market cap, so very small. They do $119 million in sales per quarter. So the price to sales ratio on this is very good. But they're going to lose 49 cents a share this year. They're supposed to make $1.44 next year. I'm wondering why this is having such big issues. I would really like to dig into this one deeper, because it looks cheap on its surface. You know, especially if it's going to make $1.44 next year. I'd put the P at like 5. Right? And it's on a free fall. This is something that's gone from about, let's go back a little bit farther. Goes back to end of 2013. It was trading over $30 a share. And like I said, it's been in a straight, almost free fall since then to $7.66. So is there a lawsuit where they reliant on a particular product? You know, for years they were making in the $1.50 range, you know, kind of fluctuating back and forth, but it was fairly consistent from 2010 to 2014. Then all of a sudden they're losing money this year, and it's supposed to go back to making around that $1.50 mark next year. It's intriguing, because if it really is, it looks cheap. But I would like to dig into it a little bit more. You know what, send me an email or send Steve an email on our site and we can look into this a little bit more on why that is. It's such an odd thing to have such steady profitability and then boom, you're losing money. And it's maternity clothes, so, you know, that's not going out of business. People are still, you know, women are still having babies. But, yeah, if that's true, like I said, it's really going to make $1.44 next year. Yeah, this is cheap. They don't have any debt. The dividend is 10%. Dividend yield is 10%. But they have cut that. Oh, no, they haven't cut that dividend. The dividend's still there. So, yeah, this is kind of a perplexing one. Very intriguing. I see why you're looking at it. You know, it makes me want to really dig in. I wish I had more time with it. But, yeah, send me an email, and I'll get into it a little bit more. Now, it's time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. Let's quiz you first. Now, it is important to not only understand how to analyze the fundamentals of an individual company, but also to understand the economic fundamentals that affect the future direction of business activity of the economy as a whole and of a particular sector. So how can we measure those economic fundamentals? Now, there are several answers to this question. Like many, there's more than one figure in fact to consider, and a few different ways to calculate GDP is one of them. But the simplest calculation involves four factors: consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. And the largest component of GDP, remember, GDP numbers coming out on Thursday, in the U.S., the largest component, and in most countries actually, is consumer consumption. Now, income trends, savings rates, wealth effect, personal balance sheets, confidence, etc., these all affect how much consumers go out and spend. Now, also, the investment component has a lot to do with business confidence, right? Are they reinvesting in their company on plant, property, equipment, buildings? Are they upgrading things? That's important to the investment component. Then government spending is fairly self-explanatory. You talk about fiscal and monetary stimulus. You know, that what the Fed is doing is monetary stimulus, with QE, keeping interest rates low. But when the government goes out and spends above and beyond what it normally does, that's fiscal stimulus. So how much the government is spending is important. And then finally, the component that has to do with whether we export or import more goods and services, that's net export. And the U.S. has been a net importer for decades, which has been a drag on economic growth. When you're exporting more than you're importing, that is a positive for GDP. When you are importing more than you're exporting, meaning you have a trade deficit, then that subtracts from GDP. So these are all factors that go into how well our economy is doing and our country is doing economically in that sense. Now, there's a lot of discussion on, is this the best measure for how well our economy is doing? I would argue in today's day and age, probably not. But when it comes to economics and understanding the trends, I think you have to understand it. You have to know it, and you have to be able to apply it towards your investment thesis, whatever it is. Now, if you have a question about today's Invest Talk 101, check in now. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, and whether you own real estate as an investment or simply as your residence, for most investors, matters of real estate ownership factor into all of our financial decisions. To help its clients make the best possible choices, KPP Financial now has a licensed real estate agent on staff. To learn more about all of KPP's services and investment programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jason from Oakland. I'm calling to find out what you think of Tata Motors, symbol TTM, and whether or not it would be something good to hold for the next 3 to 5 years. Love your show. Appreciate all the education. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Looking at Tata Motors. This is an Indian company. They acquired the rights or the brands Jaguar and Land Rover from Ford back before the financial crisis, which has really catapulted their business to new levels. And if you go back to 2007, they were doing, let's see, I'm trying to find a figure that's in dollar terms. I guess I only have free cash flow. but their revenues were a 20th of what they are today. Okay, let's say a tenth. They were a tenth of what they are today. So that acquisition really catapulted them onto the global scene. And those businesses are doing pretty well, but it is a competitive landscape. Tata Motors has not been doing well recently. If you look at the price so far this year, it was at $50 earlier this year, hit a low of 22, and now it's at 29. I'm going to say over the next 3 to 5 years, I think it would probably be a pretty good investment. I do. I think you're going to have a lot of volatility in the interim, both up and down. You know, it's still going to be tied to the emerging markets and how strong the emerging markets are. And one thing you've seen this year is the emerging markets not been so strong. So it will be subject to the whims of emerging markets, which are very volatile. One thing I like about Tata Motors is I do like the brands that they acquired. I do like the fact that they have been reducing their financial leverage ever since that acquisition. So they've been doing pretty decent there. But it is a competitive market. It's the car market, right? Which worries me a little bit. But like I said, if you're looking more long-term, I would say 3 years might be it's hard to know in 3 years where that's going to be. But 5 years, I would be fairly confident that it'd be higher. How much? That's all going to depend on how well India does, emerging markets do, and the brands that they hold, Jaguar and Land Rover as well. So I like where you're looking, but I understand that you're going to have a lot of volatility, and be prepared for that so you don't panic out of it when you get that volatility. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about Apple. Their earnings come out tomorrow after the bell, and the recent movie, the Steve Jobs movie, was kind of a flop at the box office, but will the earnings be a similar flop is the question. And a lot of it's going to depend on how well they did in China. Now, Apple ended the quarter, last quarter, on a solid note. They sold 13 million new iPhone 6s and iPhone 6s Pluses in the first 3 days following its September 25th launch. And that was in several key markets, including China. Now, over the past two quarters, 30% of Apple's sales have come from China. And it's now a bigger market for them than entirety of Europe. So it's very, very important that China's business in China does well for them. Now, there's some big high-end fashion retailers like Hugo Boss and Burberry that have reported weak sales in China. And Apple recently has lost some market share in China to the likes of Xiaomi and Huawei. So, and then you've had weak reports from China Mobile and China Unicom, which sell China's iPhone. So that's a little bit worrisome. So that's where I think they're going to look. Analysts are going to look, investors are going to look tomorrow, is how did Apple's business in China do in the third quarter? It was actually going to be their fourth quarter. Now, we thank you all who have voted for our straw poll. If you'd like to also do that, go to investtalk.com, click on Webinar tab.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Both Steve and Justin pride themselves on being accessible. They believe that above all, hearing and answering questions is their number one job. As a podcast listener, you have access too. Contact either one directly. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. They will get back to you.
Now, job number one, as always on Invest Talk, is answering your questions. Our 24-hour listener line is open for any money questions at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, I was just calling about Horsehead Holding Corporation. The ticker is ZINC, the word zinc. After the market closed, they announced that they established an at-the-market equity program. I was wondering if you could talk about that. I'm not real sure what that is, what that's going to mean. And I was also wondering about your opinion on the IPO for Ferrari. If you could touch on that, I appreciate it. Thank you.
An at-the-market equity program. I've never heard of it. It looks like it permits the company to sell shares of its common stocks in such number at times and at such prices the company shall determine. So it sounds like it's going to issue more shares. That sounds negative. I wouldn't buy it. I mean, this is a company that continues to erode shareholder value. It has negative cash flow. Even in good times, the cash flow was fairly negative. Return on equity has only been positive a few times. It hasn't been positive for a long time, since 2006, 2007. I mean, this would be a deep value. It is trading about half book value. But, I mean, it's got to go a lot lower. Does it have any debt? Yeah, there's a little bit of debt, but not too dramatic. Yeah, I wouldn't own this. I don't like it. They're going to issue more shares. Stay away from it. And then you're looking at Ferrari IPO. You know, if you listen to this show for any extended period of time, you'll know that we don't like IPOs. IPOs are designed to benefit the business owners, the founders, the early investors to the company. And usually you only go to IPO when it's very advantageous to the those entities, not to the purchasers of the IPOs, meaning you and the average investor, right? And if you do have an opportunity to buy the IPO, the odds are the big institutions are passing on it, meaning that they've done their due diligence, they've done their research, and they don't want to buy it at that price. So it seems a little, seems like nothing that I would want to touch. You know, Ferrari sounds good. You know, it's Ferrari. Oh, it's this big, awesome brand. And, you know, if I were to go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a sports car, sure, Ferrari might be one of them. But it's a company that has a very niche market. It's not going to be a big brand market. The growth is going to be tough. And think of the attacks now on the 1%, how much negative backlash there is. And I think that's going to be a headwind. Not to say there's the 1% is going to go away. But long term, I think it's going to be a headwind, and I think governments are going to start to try to curb the top 1% in their ability to make money and keep their money. So that also could be a negative for Ferrari. And if you go into an economic downturn, that's something that's going to be poor for them as well. So, and I think we're, like I said earlier in the show, we're either at the latter parts of this bull market or the beginning parts of a bear market. And either way, this is not a great time to be investing in something that is ultra luxurious, like Ferrari. Great story, probably not a great IPO over, at least in the medium term. You know, near term, IPOs can go crazy. But medium term, they usually come back down to earth. And then long term, it's all about really how strong is that business? How competitive are they in their marketplace? How innovative are they? How good of a leadership do they have within their business? Those are the factors that matter long, long term. And those are all things you have to assess when you're trying to invest. Now our hour is up. I hope it's been a good use of your time. And a reminder of Steve's new check updates in the San Diego area. He'll be in La Jolla on December 2nd. You can reserve your hour by going to investtalk.com, clicking on the schedule a meeting button. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein. And for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening. And we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.